Zvachim Perek Yudalad Mishnah Dalad 14:4. From now until the end of the Masechta, we're going to talk about the topic of Bamos. A Bama literally means an elevated, a high place, and it refers to an elevated place on which one brings Korbanos, offerings. So up until now, in the 13th and the first three Mishnahs of the 14th Perek, we've been saying how you can't bring Korbanos outside of a designated place. And if you would, where would you be doing it? You'd be doing it on a Bama, on an elevated, on a place to bring it outside of the proper Mizbeach that's there in the Mishkan or the Beis HaMikdash. However, there were times when a Bama was permitted, and it was therefore permitted to bring Korbanos outside of the Beis HaMikdash or the Mishkan. Now, the word Bama actually can refer to two types of Bamos. It can refer to what's called the Bamas Yachid, a private person's Bama, or Bama Katana, a little Bama, same thing, or a Bama Gadola, the Bamas Tzibor, like a mizbeach, but not attached to like a permanent installation of the Beis HaMikdash or the Mishkan. So, these Mishnayos are based on the principles of the Bama are based on two psukim. Psukim we actually mentioned not long ago. We had Rabbi Shimon Darshan the pasuk in a different way, but here it's the conventional Chazal understanding. It's based on the Pesukim in Devarim, Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Ches and Tes, Devarim 12, chapter 12, verse 8 and 9. And there, Moshe Rabbeinu is standing on the border as they enter Eretz Yisrael. He won't be entering, and he's telling them how life is going to be in Eretz Yisrael. And there the Pasuk says, Lo sasum kechol asher anachnu osim po hayom. When you come to the land of Israel, says Moshe Rabbeinu, you won't be doing everything just like we do it today. Ish Kol ha-yashar be'enav, everyone according to what he sees fit. What does that mean? How is this understood? It means that right now we bring Korbanos as the Masechta Zvachim has been explained, essentially. But when we go into Eretz Yisrael, there'll be a period where people can't bring all the Korbanos as we do now. People will be able to bring voluntary offerings. That's ish kol ha-yashar be'enav, whatever people see fit to do, a neder, a nadava. If someone wants to bring a Korban, he could. But other private offerings, specifically the chatas, the asham, bechor and maaser, those will not be brought for a time. Okay? When will they be brought again? Says the next verse, pasuk tes, ki lo va'atem ad ata el hamanucha vel hanachla asher Hashem Elokecha nosen lach. Because you haven't arrived at the manucha, the resting place, Velanachla, or to the permanent inheritance that Hashem is going to be giving to you. So, Chazal understand, Rashi brings that on the Pasuk, that the Menucha is referring to Shiloh, when the Mishkan rested in Shiloh after they had conquered a portion of the land. And the Nachla, the inheritance, refers to Yerushalayim, the permanent centerpiece where the Beis HaMikdash belongs. And if you're not in Shiloh or Yerushalayim, so then you're going to have the possibility of setting up a Bama, a private altar, and bringing Korbanos Yachid, private, non-obligatory offerings that are volunteered, meaning specifically Olos and Shlamim, and Ola and Shlamim are the only two kinds of voluntary offerings you could do as a Neder and a Dava, a voluntary offering. So those will be done wherever you want, in your backyard. Okay, the actual structure of the Bama, so everyone agrees that it's just an elevated spot. There's a machlokas tanaim we saw before, if it can be just sela, like a big rock or bedrock, or if it has to be a mizbeach. Mizbeach is made up of multiple rocks, piled together. Everyone agrees it doesn't need the structure of the mizbeach of the Beis HaMikdash, meaning no need for it to be square, or to have a kevesh, or a yesod, or koronos. Those things are not necessary, just essentially a pile of rocks on which one will bring an offering. The Bama Gadola, which will be existing at the same time, the nation's Bama, that will kind of be like the Mizbeach of the Beis HaMikdash. It's going to be essentially in front of the courtyard of where the Mishkan is set up, and it will indeed be square with the Yesod, Koronos, and a Kevesh, a ramp. All those things will be there. But it will be brought, you'll be bringing essentially the national Korbanos, but not the private obligatory one. So on the national Korbanos, you'll bring, the Korban Tamid and the Musafim, those kind of things will be brought on the national Bama. So, now, if you think it through from a historical perspective, essentially you're going to have three stages of history where you cannot have a Bama, and then there are going to be three stages where you can. It alternates on, off, on, off, on, off. So the three stages where the bama is prohibited are going to be the when the Mishkan's around for the 39 years of the Midbar, when Shiloh is established, and when Yerushalayim is established. And the preceding periods, meaning the year before the first year of the desert before they set up the Mishkan, the years of conquest and a portion of the land before they set things up in Shiloh, and the years when the Mishkan is sort of not in its permanent place, and in fact the Aron HaKodesh isn't even in the Mishkan, the period between Shiloh and establishing the Yerushalayim. Okay, so that's the setup. It's on, off, on, off. After Yerushalayim is set up, so then forevermore bamos are forbidden, at least for Jews. For non-Jews, bamos are permitted until this very day. A non-Jew is permitted to bring a korban to Hashem, as long as it's a kosher min, cow, goat, sheep. It can be and it has to be an ol, it's a burnt offering, but it can be male or female burnt offering in their backyard. Ad yom hazeh, till today, it's no problem, it's mutter, and a Jew even can teach him how to do it. I even know one Gentile who came there, it's Israel, to learn how to do shechita, to do a korbanos. Unusual, but true. But a Jew can't participate with him, of course. As we'll see later on, the psukim for a Jew being required to bring the korbanos in the designated place where they belong, meaning not on a bama when it's prohibited, we already saw from Vayikra Yud Zayin is an Isser Karas potentially, and we'll go back to a little more. There's Mitzvah Ase and Los Ase that govern potentially as well. Okay, so that's the story. Now let me just, the next five Mishnayos are going to essentially describe how things worked in each of the historical periods. But let me just sort of give you the historical overview so you keep track of the timeline here of how it worked, and then we'll go back to the details in the Mishnayos. The Jews come out of Eretz Yisrael, so they get to Har Sinai, I should say, and they learn about Korbanos. So that's like we'll call that the beginning. That's in the first year, okay? But there's no Mishkan set up until the second year. For the first year, there's no Mishkan, therefore bamos are permitted, okay? Then the Mishkan is built in the beginning of the second year, and then from second to 40th year, I mean those 39 years, there is a Mishkan operating, and bamos are forbidden. All Korbanos are brought on the national altar there in front of the Mishkan there in the desert, wherever it is. Okay, then they enter Eretz Yisrael, and that is the pasuk that we read explicitly. Moshe Rabbeinu says for the next period of time, and that period of time is 7 years for the conquest and 7 years for the chalukah, the apportionment of the land of Israel. So for those 14 years, the Mishkan sat in a place called Gilgal, and there it wasn't a permanent place. And what we had in front of Gilgal had a status of being a bama gadola, a national bama. But for those 14 years, no one was bringing chataos, no one was bringing ashamos, meiser, behor. They were potentially bringing their own backyards, private olos, and shlamim. And then, of course, the national korbanos were brought on a regular basis, daily basis, there in Gilgal. After 14 years in Gilgal, the Mishkan is moved and established in Shiloh. Shiloh is in the area of Ephraim, but on the border with Binyamin, and the Mizbeach part of it was actually in Binyamin's territory, just like we have in the Beis HaMikdash, a similar kind of setup where you have the Beis HaMikdash is in Yehuda, but the Mizbeach part of it is in Binyamin. Okay, so Binyamin is where the Mizbeach is, Beis HaMikdash. So the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishkan, I should say, whatever you call it, the Mishkan is converted into a quasi-permanent house of for Hashem, if you will. I don't know how to describe that better. Okay, the Mishkan in Shiloh sat there for an impressive 369 years. Incredible. Okay, you're looking, 369 years ago was like the middle of the 17th century. Okay, it's a long time ago, before America was established as a country by a good 100 years. Okay, long ago. So 369 years there it sat in Shiloh. That was the Menucha. It was in rest. At the end of the period, what happened was they took the Aron Kodesh, the Ark, out there to fight the Plishtim. The Plishtim conquered it. The Plishtim captured it. They captured the Aron, and that essentially was the end. When Eliyahu Cohen, who was the Cohen Gadol, heard about this, he fell backwards, he broke his neck and died. The Kohen Gadol also dies. And like that's sort of like the end of Shiloh, okay? They do capture the Aron back again, but it's not put back with the Mishkan. It's kept in a safe place. The Mishkan itself is relocated. It's relocated first to a place called Nov. And the Mishkan's in Nov, the our own bris, you know, the ark with the lucha, etc., is put in a place called Kiryat Yarim for 20 years. Kiryat Yarim is like modern day Telstone, essentially, outside of Yerushalayim. And then it's relocated by David HaMelech into Ir David. Okay? Whereas the Mishkan is staying in Nov, and then as part of like when David and Shaul, the first and second kings of Israel, are sort of, Shaul is pursuing David, and then Shaul essentially gets upset at the people at Kohanim, Nov, Ir Kohanim, for having assisted David, so he actually destroys the city of Nov, and therefore the Mishkan is relocated, and it's relocated from Nov to a place called Givon. Okay, so it was, the Mishkan sits in Nov and Givon for a total of 57 years. Okay, after 57 years, David's son, Shlomo HaMelech, he builds the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim, and he brings the Aron from Ir David and the Mishkan from Givon and establishes the Beis HaMikdash proper, you know, there's no Mishkan anymore, whatever, the Kelim they're from, and establishes the proper Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim, and it stays there forever, okay? It's on the Har HaBayis where, essentially, behind where the Kotel is today, if you will, the Kotel itself has nothing to do with this Beis HaMikdash that Shlomo built, but anyways, it's there on the, you know, the Makom HaMikdash where it belongs, under what's now the Dome of the Rock. Okay, so after that period, it stays Yerushalayim, which is like a good 3,000 years ago. The rules of Bamos have been the same, which is Bamos are forbidden forever. Okay, so you have six periods again, summing up here. You have the first year in the Midbar, Bamos are permitted. The 39 years, the rest of the Midbar, where there's a Mishkan, Bamos are forbidden. Then you have the 14 years of the apportionment and conquest of the land, conquest and apportionment of the land of Israel. The Mishkan sits in Gilgal. Bamos are again permitted. Then it goes to Shiloh, 369 years. Bamos are forbidden. Then it goes to Nov and Givon for a total of 57 years. Bamos are permitted. Then it goes to Yerushalayim. Bamos are forbidden forever. Okay, that's the whole picture and that's sort of a summary of the next five Mishnayos. Now, let's just see the first of them inside here. Here in Mishnah Dalet, it reads, Ad shlehukam haMishkan, prior to the establishment of the building, setting up of the Mishkan in the desert, Hayu habamos mutaros, it was permitted to have private altars, va'avoda b'buchoros, and who performed the avoda, meaning back in the national karbanos, if you will, there was a few things happening in the you see Har Sinai and so on. The psukim talk about what's happening in Har Sinai. Look, for example, in Shmos pasuk chavdalet pasuk hey, it says v'yishlach es nari b'nei Yisrael v'ya'alu olos. So the nari b'nei Yisrael, the youngsters, I don't know what to call them, of the Jewish people, offered olos. That is, according to Rashi, those are b'choros, firstborn Jewish males. Okay, but mishahukam haMishkan, once the Mishkan was established there in the second year of the desert traveling, ne'esru habamos. So at that point, and forever, at that point, the Bama, the private offerings, private altars became forbidden in the Midbar for the next 39 years. Va'avoda b'kohanim, and who performed the avoda, the temple activities? Kohanim, Aaron and his sons, that is forevermore. Kadshei kachim nechalim lifnim min hakalayim. The kadshei kachim, meaning in the Mishkan, in the desert years, if someone brings a chatas or an asham or the menachos, so those are eaten within the curtains. This is referring to the fact there were those poles and surrounded by curtains that made the chatzer, the courtyard, if you will, around the Mishkan. Okay, so that within that courtyard is where the kohanim had to eat the kadshei kachim. The kachim kalim, as for the lesser sanctified kachim, b'chol machni Yisrael, they could be eaten anywhere within the Jewish encampment. You recall the Jews encamped in 12 tribes, okay, all around the Mishkan in the middle, and the machni Levi in the middle, like sort of there. So we had those zones, but the outer zone was the 12 mil by 12 mil, meaning 24,000 almost by 24,000 almost, encamped with the Jewish people that wandered through the desert, and kachim kalim could be eaten anywhere within that zone during the remaining 39 years in the desert.